this corn, whatever it is, most of it has to cure by that time. The next season is fall. Right? So the very word summer tells us that it is a time for things to come to their maturity. Right? Summer formation. So here is the summer, the time of stress, a time of discomfort. But in that time is also a time of maturity. Now, with what I want, what you want, what all of us want, start coming to us. Salvation. Maturity. Right? Harvest time. Right? Okay, when that starts coming to all of us, and we start enjoying our harvest, right? We feel ourselves, don't we? And when we feel ourselves, we're not trying to work, aren't we? We're not trying to work. We were working for this. This is what we were working for. We worked in the spring, we worked here. That was what we were working for, was the harvest. Now, harvest is here, and it's hot. How come it's hot? Because we have become too sensuous. We just want to feed our appetite. And the sensual spirit that comes over us is heat. The fires of passion. And fruit, what is it? It's the part of the plant that has matured, has ripened, for it to be taken, right? And they call it passion fruit. Delicious fruit, right? Passion fruit. So here is the time of passion. Eating and drinking and celebrating. That's a difficult time for the social bar. In that time, we have a tendency to forget the obligation to first things, right? We start neglecting the moral right. We start neglecting the family structure. Oh, we're just having a good time. Eat and drink and be merry. Right? You know the Roman thing. Right? Okay, so that's the summer of our life, you see? And summer creates such heat. There's nothing to pull us together. We have everything that we want. Hey, get away from me, you hot. Get off me. Don't get so close to me. Hot. You laying in the bed with the ladies. Hey, get your hot leg off me! It's hot! Now, in the springtime, it wasn't hot. The thermostat said 110. And they were all tubbed up, sweating like... But when the summer season came, the thermostat wasn't no higher. In fact, it was a little lower, it was just 80 degrees. Get off me! Get that hot leg off me! Hot! You got what you want now, you ain't asking anything, right? You have got your house. You don't want anything. Get off me, that hot leg off me. The man was sleeping, he had to get up 2 more hours, and he'd just been sleeping for 3. And you done whip him up now and broke his feet, cause your hot leg was off. Right? Family falls apart, right? Family falls apart because we're just selfish. You don't want that to bother us. We got everything. We've given in to this world to please ourselves. More for me. Get away from me. Leave me alone. That's the summer. So there's a factor now that gives us protection during times like that. What is it? It's the common bond. The respect for the common essence. The dignity of the common person. I should never allow a situation between me and another person to make me so if I respect them for what they are, if I respect the sacredness, the dignity of that person as a common creature in the family of humanity, if I know the value of that common dignity, that sacredness of the common person, and I have been raised up to have enough respect for that, oh, I'm wrong. Wake that poor man up or that poor woman up from her good sleep because her leg is on me, it's hot. I will let it stay there and suffer because I value this person more than that. This person means more to me than this little discomfort I have. Right? Look how the prophet sees and doesn't be on him. In a report, one of the reports that he was making sense of that prayer with his head on the floor. And a little child came over and climbed up on his back. Rather than get up and make that child stand up and make the child perhaps fall and hurt himself, the prophet stayed and sat there for a very long time. And they wondered if the prophet had something happen to him. But when the child moved and the prophet stood, they knew that the child would not stand. The prophet would not stand and put the child security in jeopardy. It's a lesson for us. The father values that child. The father didn't see a naughty child. He didn't see a child that didn't have his best. He saw a sacred vessel. He saw the value of a human person. And this is a child, doesn't know better. Right? You see? See that attitude? All right. Now let's look at the winner of life. The winner of life is a time when there's scarcity. Right? There's scarcity. Scarcity of means. It's not homicide, it's scarcity of means. But in the winter time, you find both to get close together, don't you? Mm-hmm. You know, ripping you, man. It's either we just huddled up there and we're so nice, we just so nice right there. But what add up together? Selfishness. That was hypocrisy. We don't normally do that. We did that for an advantage. All right? That's winter. Time of scarcity. In the time of scarcity, we all get selfish too. See, both make you selfish. One is affluent. That kill your human spirit, kill your human nature, and make you just want to not be bothered with anybody else. You don't have to have them so much. I don't need this little husband, right? And then scarcity comes, and you do need. But here is the bad fellow, his need is still selfish. He comes together for an advantage. For self, right? Okay, let's look at ourselves now. Why are we here? All right. During times of scarcity, there's also another thing comes up. Now, we know in the winter, water freezes. The earth gets hard, right? So, there's a hardening of the heart, right? Now, a lot of people, poor people, see, rich people, they're just insensitive. How come they're insensitive? Because they're the victims of senses. They're the victims of overly pampered senses. They have fallen under sensationalism. Sensuousness. Sensation. Sensationalism, right? Okay. So now the poor person, he becomes insensitive and selfish. How come? He hardens, right? He hardens. Hardens, how come? Because he has given in to the spirit in him that says, pity yourself. You shouldn't be like this. Why are you without? So this self-pity makes us harden, doesn't it? Pretty soon we become selfish in our self-pity. Our self-pity leads us to selfishness, and we become very hard. Boy, if you get a selfish girl, if you get one of them girls married that has come through a life that has made them selfish, You got something colder than a prostitute in ruinous. Yes? You've got something cold. It's all to you, stupid. Stay away from that person that ain't had nothing but bad luck and one they can live with. I don't care how nice they look to you today. They're going to punish you. They're going to talk to you when they get you. Well, if they know they got you, they're going to come out with, they're going to let that out on you, but they will hide. Oh, yeah. And you're going to wonder if you married the devil or what. See, a human being just couldn't do me like this. This is reality. Believe me, this is reality. Common sense reality. These are the things that you experience in life. But look at the eye-opener. Look at the wisdom. Look at the life that God has given us. He says, and for the family of Israel, their protection. And for them, the protection is assured. During travel through both winter, or through both winter and summer. You see? But it's all about telling us the social factor, the social sentiment. That's the key. Don't let material things kill the social sentiment. Don't let poverty make you selfish. Don't let poverty harden you. Don't let hard times harden you and cause you to live the social bond, lead the social bond, or lose the social sentiment. Elasi means, it's from Adipa, which means to be drawn together by the social want, the social sentiment. The need in us to have companionship, to have the love of another fellow man, to have the friendship of another person. See, that's a need in us. That's a natural need in us. And God is telling us with the revelation, don't allow plenty, affluence, or scarcity, poverty, to kill that factor in you. Keep that alive. And if you can keep that alive, that's the protection through both summer and winter. Look at the history now. Look at our present time. This decade from the late 70s to now. Or to the 80s. 1980s. Look at that period, that 10-year period. What has happened in that 10-year period? We have lost the social bonding material. The family has been put into a shambles because of that fact. Individuals have become insensitive. Individualism has taken over the society. Me. The me orientation. Right? That has been the problem. So we have plenty of people that God, but they don't care about their fellow man. We have family members that but God, but they don't care about their family members. We have persons that don't, that are without, and they are miserable to each other. The poor teenager. He joins the gang. And he has no more answer in him. So he ties the hand of the gang member behind his back, and he takes the gun and he blows his brains out. Right? He comes down the street and he sees someone with a different label or different symbol than he is. And he just looks at him and just shoots it down. Insane human destruction. In the youth. And we find out that as we look among them, no, these youth are terrible. And we go to that secret meeting, we find an old man sitting up in there, teaching them. Right? Yeah. He's no youth, he's a grown up. He teaches them. See how terrible the seasons can get? And how you lose yourself because you lose the life that God intended to be your protection? We have to be able to make the connection between things of the past and things of the present. The jewels that God gave Moses and Jesus, and the jewels that God gave Muhammad, peace be on the prophet. And understand that when Jesus said, I give you only one commandment, that you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, etc. And love your fellow man as yourself. That he was talking about. And it's right. For the protection of the Quraysh. Even that's not enough. But there is the first, that's the key. Give yourself to God. And then don't lose your social nature that God gave you. So what does God say? As the hadith says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Let's go back to the very first. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. For the protection of the Quraysh, their protection is given to them, assured, for travel over winter and summer. Then God says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Therefore, worship the Lord of this house. What is the house? The Kaaba. So the Kaaba now becomes a symbol of the Ilahi. Right? The Kaaba now is a symbol of the Ilahi. So we look at the Kaaba, say, what is that a symbol of? That's a symbol of your social nature that God gave you. It's a house. Where does man find his first social unit that's coming? It's in the house, isn't it? When he becomes a family, in the home, that's the first social unit. You see? So God says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. And again, let us respect all scriptures before. Jesus said, the kingdom is within you. And the Bible says that you are the temple. And the Bible also says that Jesus told his following that they were members or branches in his own temple. Right? So what is this then? Jesus must symbolize this, the social order. Giving itself to God. Jesus must symbolize then the social order. He's one individual. But as an individual, he's a sign of a connected body. Because he said, you are in me as a branch.
That's right.
Then we must understand that our Kaaba represents that. Oh, is the Kaaba Jesus? No, Jesus is a sign of the Kaaba. Jesus is the first. Isn't that what he said? He said, before the world, I am. Before what world? The world society, the world city. The first social order was not the city. The first social order was the family. And who made that? God. God thought about that bonding, didn't he? Oh, yeah. Okay, and it sits there with four corners, right? It is called what? A house. It is not called Dar. Dar is for government house. It is called Beit. Beit is for the house of intimacy. It's a private house. And in Allah's book, it is called, again, Beit Latif. The most ancient house. The most ancient house. Now we know that Allah says in the Quran that this house, the Kaaba, the four corners house, was built by Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail, peace be on him. However, in historical reports, we are told that actually Abraham did not build it for the first time, that it had been built before. And his building was actually a rebuilding. The house had crumbled, had gone. And Abraham was guided to the same place and he built the house again. And since then, it has been kept in repair, right? Yes. It is called Beit Latif. the most ancient house. And what is it actually in the Methodist? How do we know it's a Methodist? Because the Methodist Haram is there. And the Kaaba is right in the environs of Methodist Haram. Right? Of the sacred Methodist, sacred mosque at Mecca. It is there. And the Kaaba sits right in it, right? All right. The Masjidul Haram, the sacred mosque, it has no roof. It's a roofless mosque. And it has to stay that way. Now, Allah also says to us in the Quran, and I know some of you are being worn out, but that's okay, you're paying the price for others. And that's your charity, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're good, just doing a wonderful deed. Now, maybe you're drinking. Either way, you're getting some benefit. All right. So, Allah also said in the Quran that the earth is the messenger. The earth is the messenger. But the earth is the messenger. All right? So how are we to understand this? The earth is our home, isn't it? And the Kaaba is a symbol of our human home. The original nature of the person, the common nature, the common person. That's our human home. But we get out of it, don't we? We come out of the nature of the common person, the original nature, that social nature that comes here by nature. That's why Jesus is depicted in the nativity scene with animals. Because God has given animals that same nature, that same love, that same bonding, family bonding, that same charity, that same willingness to sacrifice for the weak. What are animals sacrificed to for its young? So you see Jesus put into the nativity scene. To say to you that this is not something that God has just given man, this is something that God has given nature. It's in the animal, it is in man. And he has gotten it from where? The earth? The earth evolved him. He was born out of the earth. God has created him out of the earth. You see? So all these plans, flames of blood, of existence, all these bases, addressing what is native, what is common, what is sacred for the human person. And the best part of it is the man does not become an enlightened creature. Man does not even become intelligent until what? Man does not even come into his own life until what? Until he comes into a family setting. It is in a family setting. It is in a home setting that man learns how to communicate, that man learns how to think as a human being, that man becomes a human being. This is science of brotherhood, isn't it? All right? They say, they have already done it. They did some studies. A young child was somehow lost and lived among animals. This is fact. This is no fiction. And lived among animals. I used to know the name of the child. Can't recall it right now. No, not alone. He lived among animals. And when they found him, when civilization found him, he was running around like an animal on his fours. And he was making grunts like an animal. He couldn't speak human language. He was not able to speak the human language. And he was running around on his fours. So scientists have found by testing, by study and observation and testing, they found that the human being becomes a human because of a social environment. Take him out of that social environment, he will not stand up like a human being. He will not think like a human being. He will not learn to articulate. He will not learn rational speech. This is a fact. So you see how important now that symbol is to us? The Kaaba representing the social unit? The unit in which man comes to life, knows himself? Oh, this is so wonderful. I wish you had a sign. Now, we turn to the Kaaba when we pray. We don't turn to the east. We don't turn to the west. God says righteousness is neither turning east nor west.
But righteousness is in being for real. That's what God said. Now, we know he says much more than that. I just made it short because you're in a terrible position and you're all cramped up and you never did that yoga before. Now, look at this. We turn it on the Kaaba, which is central for all of us. I may live west, I have to turn a different direction from the man who lives east. It's central. Kaaba is central for all of us. And if you could picture all of us on the earth, we are in a circle, and the Kaaba is in the center. The Kaaba is the center. And in the Kaaba, there is also a symbol, isn't it? In the Kaaba is a black stone. It's a symbol too. Now here in the family concept is a black stone. Say, what is that? Well, I know what my father said. He said, that's a black man. But the Kaaba is not a symbol of the black man, it's a symbol of all men. Okay? It's a symbol for all men, for all people. So it's not black or white or nothing like that. But what is the black representing then? The black is representing the nature in the social family. The house is a social unit. But what's the principle? What's the guiding principle? What's the most precious unit in that family unit? It is something we call the heart. The human heart. Right? That's what it was. When I was raised as a child, what kept me? What secured me? What woke my mother up at night to come and change my life? Break her sleep. Come and change my life. What was doing that? Her heart. She couldn't do that as a trained social worker. She did that on the basis of what God had put in my nature. That was her mother heart. The heart of motherhood, right? That's what was coming to me. And was it enlightened? Did that happen because of enlightenment? You know, light suggests light, white, right? Did that happen at the cause of enlightenment? No. You find that same concern, that same motherly care given to babies in the prehistory corners of the world. Right? Same thing has been given from the mother through the animal, the lower human being. Mm-hmm. So the black there represents nature. Man, for a long time, has described nature as the color black. And enlightenment, the dawning of the intellect, as white. So the soul is, look at our symbols and they say, oh, those Muslims, they say they don't worship God in any image. Well, why they turn to that image, that idol? In Arabia. It's not a symbol for us to worship. It's an orientation. It's a central orientation that's common to all of us. It's the social element in life. Or in the nature of conforming to what God intended for it. Alright? And the Bible says, and that rejected stone became the corner. Isn't this black stone you moved in there? Isn't it in the corner? And when you go to make hard, don't you have to start off from that corner? And you make your circuit, your seven circuits, and you must come out too at that corner, right? You enter in by that corner, and you come out by that corner. Is that not correct? Yes. Praise be to Allah. And we have said, we have given us commentary or tafsir, interpretation. And we have said that symbol there is a symbol of the human heart. Someone will say, oh, brother Imam, will you say that before the learned people in this religion? I said that on Mount Al-Kaz, doing Hajj. And there were many learned sheikhs and high people there.
That's right.
And one man got up behind my car. But I told him, I said, the symbol of the Kaaba is a baby. And the heart is a baby. The man is the intellect, don't he? That's why a white man, he called us boys. And he hated. He had to change because of social change. But he hated to stop calling us boys. I see. What he means is that your mind, you haven't come into sciences. You don't understand the science of your nation. So why should I call you a man? You're no man, you're a boy. That's what he's saying to us. Above our head. He's talking over our head. Just like when he called us too. He was talking over our head. But thanks be to Allah, we've grown up now and we know what he's talking about. We can talk back to it. We can have a conversation now on the same thing. Now, praise be to Allah. So, the heart. What does the Bible say also? We have to be sure understand it. That you will not get in unless you come in as little babies. A baby following heart. The school person follows their knowledge. Right? You see how wonderful this is? Now look at what God says. He says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Therefore, worship up your Lord, or the Lord, pardon me, of this house. هَذَا الْبَيْتِ, this house. The Lord, the creator of your original nature, that social nature. All right? He said, so worship the Lord of this house. Did he say worship the house? It's plain. The Yahweh Rabba had that day. Worship the Lord of this house. He didn't say worship the house. And let the other woman endure in where another woman goes. He who gave you protection against hunger, or safety against hunger. Safety against hunger and fear. Safety against hunger and fear. Now here's the winner in the summer. Hunger is what makes hot things hot for us. Hunger is just greedy. What did you get? I need to eat more. I want affluence. Right? Hunger lets you in there. You need protection against your own appetite. You need to bad for all along. And then remember his sentence for the next 11 months. Right? Yeah. So you see, hunger and fear. Here's the winter and summer. Hunger and fear. This fear. How fear? Doesn't fear make us cold?
That's right.
See, he was frozen with fear. Fear, right? Fear. And when you're hungry, you're always hot with passion.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so here is the hunger. Here's the summer and the winter, you see? And we talked about it earlier. Now, God said, فَلْنَعْتُ رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Allah didn't say, worship that house. So let no one trick you into believing that you are worshiping that idol, that cow. You're not worshiping that. That is a sinner, a sexual orientation. Saying for us symbolically that God wants us to never go away from our original nature. The original social nature that he gave us.
Yes.
He created us, loved each other, compassion on each other, etc., etc., right? If it didn't have that, you would have never made it through into this and up from a toddler, right? You had to have that as a youngster that was helpless and dependent upon your mother, upon some parent, upon some guardian, who would give you that because of the nature that God has put in this life.
Yes.
So God is saying the Muslim should never leave that. The Muslim is obligated to keep to the social bonding power, the social bonding power, the social sentiment, the natural social sentiment. We are obligated to keep to that. The community that we belong to, what is it? The Ummah. We turn from the Kaaba and we belong to the Ummah. What is the Ummah? Umm is mother. Ummi, my mother. Ummuka, your mother. Ummuna, our mother. Umma, our mother community. Keep to the nature and your community will be a mother. And a mother doesn't reject it in her children.
Right.
Not the real mother.
Right.
All right? Okay, so let us go on now. God says that he will give you protection against fear. The one who gives you protection, feeds you. And from hunger, give you protection against hunger. And he gives you protection against fear. Safety against fear. We see in New Testament teaching now, deviation. We don't know, maybe some guilty folks planned it, but we know most of the people are innocent. They do not see that deviation. But we see a deviation. In the New Testament, here we have the temple as our object of worship. Don't we? Here our mosque, the central, or the temple of the masjid, and around, is not to be worshipped. God said to us, don't worship it. And the Yahweh will do rough the hand and be. Therefore, worship the Lord who created this house. Right? But in the New Testament, they give us Jesus. Not the New Testament, but the church we've been serving. Give us Jesus, the fire of Jesus, right? And they tell us to worship Jesus. Isn't that what they tell us? They show us Jesus, they can worship Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the temple, didn't he? So what is the Al-Islam saying to the world? With very wise, powerful language. Don't worship Jesus. Don't worship Jesus. Jesus is on the side of that is common to every person God has created. Don't worship Jesus. We know he's a prophet too, but he's also a tyrant. Right?
Yes,
no, they say don't worship Jesus. That's what our time tells us. Whenever Muslims stand 5 times, start down, our 5 times thinking they pray. So what do we say to the world with suggestion? Simple suggestion. Don't worship Jesus. Yes, because Allah said in the Quran that is not to be worshipped. That is a central force that draw you in and keep you into your nation. It's not to be worshipped. But worship the Lord who created it. Right? All right. Again, it is said that the temple was defiled, right? How does the temple become defiled? The temple keeps the nation, but you put corruption in the temple. Idols were in the temple. They put false gods in the Kaaba. And Prophet Muhammad had to come and clean the Kaaba of over 369, I think, idols, right? He took them all out of the Kaaba. He cleaned the Kaaba of those idols. So where does the false worship come? Into the very place where God has made sacred. The very place that God has made sacred. Your heart, the original nature of your heart that God made sacred. There the false idols come. Right? Into the hall, into the association that are held together. The corner in old days of masonry, the corner was the lining point. The builder would first get that corner. Once he got the corner, then you had the guiding rod, the guiding angle for the rest of the construction. So that's why the corner is so important. And the heart is that lining. It enables us to line the family up, right? So the house represents the four corners, represents the four, the unit, the house, home, the social life. And the heart and the corner mean that if you line up right with the nature of the heart, then the whole house will be structured right. Right? You see? Now, in that same consciousness comes falsehood, selfishness, right? False worship. Pretty soon we're worshiping ourselves. Or we're worshiping others. We're taking people in that social environment for idols. They become our heroes, our idols, etc., right? So God had to come and clean it out. So what are all these false things you worship? What's this all this mess? That's how come you have no dignity. That's how come you have no strength. That's how come you don't have economic dignity. You are worshiping all these false. You have polluted my sacred vessel. You have brought corruption into the sacred form. Throw it out. This is the way you should understand it. Then when you're praying with this understanding, your prayer has more meaning. And you back this down to your children, they will say Muslim. This is how Prophet Muhammad saw his people. He didn't just come out and tell his people that the servants are in the house and then give them some understanding. Prophet Muhammad was a teacher, Muallim, professor, the highest on earth. And if we follow the Quran sincerely with our hearts, come with a pure heart, God will bless us with insight into the interpretation or insight into the tafsir of the Quran. Then we are able to establish ourselves with the knowledge. So we say, Aqim al-Salat, stand for prayer. What does it mean? Establish yourself. Stand means establish. Say, this building is standing. This building is established. Right? I want something that will stand. I want something that will hold up. That won't fall down. Right? So, how many of the last? Stand for breath. It's a sign that this is what establishes us. And what are we doing in the prayer? We're glorifying God. I turn toward the central focus for human life, the social nature that God gave us. Right? Recognizing the value of the human heart. And I praise God, not the building. Allah. I don't say, and they, I don't say, and Kaaba Akbar. I say, Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater than the Kaaba. Allahu Akbar. Right? And then I begin my gestures, the ritual of prayer. And I go down to a baby position in the womb of the mother. I take the position of the fetus on the floor. And I say, God is most high. And then I begin coming back up. That's all it takes to get me back up. And recognize that God is most high. And I start coming back up. I stand and I establish myself again. Allah. Sorry for acting like this during the football, but it's good. All right. Now, dear beloved believers, if you understand this, then you should be God's soldier against idol worship.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You should be his soldier, preserving the original content of human life. Oh, yes. And you should never worship yourself. You should never worship nations. You should never worship the society. You should only worship Allah who has created and evolved it all. Yes. So we are not nationalists in a fanatical sense. No, we can't. We are humans. And we believe in preserving the original social nature and social order that God himself established through his prophet. Peace and blessings be on them. So, dear beloved Muslims, I hope that what I've said has been clear to you, and I hope that it will be a benefit in your life. And I hope that we will all be better people after hearing this khutbah today. May Allah guide us in the right way, open our breath for understanding, purify our hearts, our intentions, establish us as true Muslims following the way of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. And make us a light in this world that is not selfish, but a light that glorifies God and extends its rays to all people. And I pray also that Allah make us, raise us up to be that community of the Quran that he says, the words of Allah in the Quran, that you are the best community raised up for the good of all people. Amen.
الله أكبر الله أكبر
Those who are not familiar with the Muslim prayer, the Salat, you may stand to the wall. Please, you may stand to the wall. But if you choose to follow us in the prayer, you may join us. You're welcome. If you choose to join us, you may join us. Welcome. But those who are not familiar, you don't feel comfortable trying to follow us. If you're not Muslim, so it's okay if you stand to the wall as they form the line. And please remain. We're asking all of our those who are in attendance here today to remain after the prayer. There are some announcements.